Friends in Christ, today's message, I want to go back a little bit to our first reading that we heard, our Old Testament reading. Yes, we can learn a lot from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Now, I'm not much of a soda drinker, but when it gets hot, there is just something relaxing and refreshing about having a cold soda on a summer day. Or if you're of a different lifestyle, you can maybe mix it with something else. But thinking about the different kinds of soda, I can only picture one. That's right. Good old Coca-Cola. This is the real deal, folks. That's what they say in their ads, anyway. The real deal. So much so that if you go down to Texas, every soda is called Coke. You're going to have a Coke. Now, you might be thinking, Coke's okay, Pastor, but there's other drinks out there. What about Mountain Dew? That's great when you're fishing. Or what about good old Dr. Pepper? Well, they're all right. They have different flavors, but remember this truth. Never accept a substitute. There's plenty of them out there, right? There's maybe Pepsi. That comes pretty close, right? It takes a little bit of the bite off. You can maybe see it at a ball game. Or maybe even you got this generic pick and save brand. What have you got? The Big K Cola. But Coke is unique. It's been around for a while. And they always say everything's better with a Coke. Aside from just one subtraction, the original Coke hasn't changed its recipe a bit since 1886. And it's known around the world. There is no soda like Coke. But you know what? That's what we're talking about today. Simply put, there is no other God like God. Our God is unique, folks. That's what our reading from Isaiah says so. Well, how is our God unique? The beginning of that reading I just shared reveals that God has a special relationship with his people. And he speaks of his intentions, how he will treat them. And his ability, even, to carry out those intentions. So first, God gives himself a series of significant names that help us understand what he is all about. He starts off by saying he is Israel's king. Now, Israel had a lot of kings, but nothing that could really measure up. As Israel's king, he has administered the affairs of his people efficiently. And God's relationship with his own people comes through in this title, very special way. No single human king has ever ruled over God's people as a perfect king, not even King David. They all had faults. Some had some pretty serious faults. But the Lord is the perfect, wise ruler of his people. And think of it even today. Have we ever had a perfect president? Far from it. Not any of them. That's why it's important to remember our God is unique because he's the only perfect judge and ruler. He controls the affairs of his people in a way that is always best for them. And as our king, God does not intend to let us be swallowed up by evil or any harm. Instead, he calls himself another title in this reading. He says that he is not only the king of Israel, but the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? Does he mean he's like a really good at holding dinner parties as a host? No. The host in biblical language means a whole army. He is a general. He is a warrior. As the Lord of hosts of heaven, the Lord of all armies, God has the power to carry out everything that is needed for the rescue of his people. The Lord fights for us. Yes, he fights for us. Well, why do I need God fighting for me, Pastor? I'm not fighting anything. Yes, you are. If we don't know it already, this year, 2020, we are fighting a battle, a spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare is real. The world, the devil, and the evil of this world will try to get after you in any way possible and your family if it wasn't for our Lord of hosts. That's why he calls himself the Lord Almighty. He is the same deliverer that led millions of people out of slavery in Egypt with Moses. And he can do the same for you today. He's not only a king, he's not only a general, but he's also a redeemer, a savior. Our royal redeemer wants to show us that there is even nobody that can be compared to him. There is no other God, no other entity that will go to all costs to buy back a people that desert him. Nothing. Every world religion will never have a God that actually cares enough for the people that worship him that he would go to die for them, to buy them back. So it makes sense when he says, who is like you among all gods? God would pay the price necessary to buy back his helpless people from the consequences of their own folly. And finally, in this reading, God is unique because he calls himself the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God encompasses everything. Even before we had governance, even before there were Abraham, even before there was even Adam, the first human being that walked on this earth, there was God. He knew it all. He existed before the first words of Scripture in the beginning. When the last human being is born and when the last human being is dead, God will still be God. So, Pastor, why are we talking so much about who God is? What does it mean to even have a God if he is the best God? Well, our reformer, Martin Luther, taught us in his large catechism, to have a God means only that which that we have something that we expect all good and in which we take our refuge in all distress. So to have a God is nothing other than trusting and believing in something with all your heart. So I say that whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God. So do you have any other gods in your life? Is there something that you're putting your trust in more than anything else? You can look around. There's a lot of those things that can be your God. Do you have other gods? Yes. But do you have other gods before, above God? That's what the first commandment's all about. We might cling to the money in our pockets. And when our money's all gone, we might find something else. All too often, we ignore what our Lord has already provided. We put our confidence, maybe, and trust in phones. These day and ages, it's maybe masks. We put our trust, ultimately, in other people. We spend more time with our spouses and love interests than actually reading and studying God's Word. And our time, especially this summer, our time is the biggest idol that we have. We worship our time. Our work day is devoted to time. Some of us may be even timing this sermon. And so far, we've been talking about how God is unique as a perfect leader, a stronger leader, a perfect rescuer, and as he is timeless. But we haven't even yet talked about how none of us are unique in that respect because of our insistence upon our sinful life. None of us are perfect. Not even the person in wearing white before you. But God is unique. And what makes God really unique is that he isn't just the one diagnosing our problem of sin. He's not the angry bearded man floating on the clouds from afar. No. He's the one actually getting down in this mess and doing some healing. Not only is he our Father in heaven, but he is the Spirit interceding in our prayers when we are mumbling words that we don't even know we're saying. Has any of you ever heard of the term auscultation before? Auscultation. Anybody in the medical field? It's about diagnosing something from within by wearing one of these. We saw in our children's message, the stethoscope. That's what God is doing with the current problems of this world. He's diagnosing the groanings of creation. God is not sitting back on his easy chair enjoying a soda and enjoying the easy life. God's ears are next to our hearts. And when he hears our heartbeat, it's not just our heartbeat alone. He's hearing the heartbeat of Jesus himself inside of you. A living Savior, healing you, healing our land, healing us from the inside. That's why today the Lord calls himself one last unique title. He's called all these things himself, but one last title that sticks out of all others. Our Lord calls himself the Rock. Not Dwayne the Rock Johnson, the wrestler, not the state penitentiary over where Sean Connery was breaking out of. He is the Rock of all, the Rock of ages, and God is a God of promises. The God who demands absolute obedience is our rock in whom we can cling to. So I can think of an example today from my own life that illustrates just how we can put our trust in our unique God as our rock. A few years ago, my two brothers and I and my dad went whitewater rafting up north on the Wolf River. My dad's actually here. I think he remembers vividly because he's not a great swimmer. We were whitewater rafting, and about halfway into the trip, me and my dad are in this raft, and we encountered some pretty intimidating rapids. As luck would have it, we both got jammed up between some boulders, and soon water was just gushing in this raft. We were taking on water like the Titanic. And it was in no time that I was swept away outside of the raft, downriver, with nothing to cling to, just taking me on underwater. Except there was this lone boulder in the middle of the stream, just sitting there waiting for me. On both sides, I could see water just swirling around, surely to take me under. But no, I was able to grab hold of this rock and get reunited with my dad and the raft to continue the journey. So, when the pains and groanings of life cause us unrest, when at times it feels like we're being swept under, maybe even drowning in our issues, God assures you and his people that he is the rock that remains. That's what makes him so unique. When all else fails, he's the one left behind, still there. There is no other rock than Christ. He is the rock that Peter built the Christian church. He is the Lord of hosts when you share the word. He is a God who died for us. He's a God who brings promises of not just life and healing for this life, but for eternity. And just as Christ was given a resurrected body, we have a confidence and hope that that is also your future. The first and the last. And when all in the world and the buildings around us are crumbled, we will be there at the end, standing with our rock. And apart from him, no other safety exists. There is no substitute. Apart from him, there is no God. So when you're kicking back having a soda this summer, remember how God is unique and how he uniquely cares about you. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.